Hey, I am Russ Bickerstaff, the theater guy for the Shepherd Express, here at a fast food restaurant not far from where I live. The reason I'm here is to meet with Matt Zembrowski, local theater guy, piano man. You will also hear in the background, quite possibly, my 2-year-old intern and daughter, Amalia. Say hello, Amalia. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe not.
the milk that says it all.
So, and you've got a show opening tonight.
We do. It's previewing tonight, and we'll be glad to have tonight's preview. We're doing a show called Zombie Jamboree, which is the name and the concept is a repeat from last year.
Okay.
Which is a repeat from a show that we did many years ago when we were in college.
I vaguely remember you telling me that story, but you would tell it better than I would. This was back when you were at UWM.
Yep. My first year at UWM, I started out as a music major.
Okay.
And then I switched to theater, my first year there was the last year that the PTTP was really in existence.
So you started the PTT program, you started with music, and the PTTP was there.
And then the PTTP fell apart my first year, and there was very little theater to speak of. The only thing that was really happening that first year while they were officially figuring out what to do was the UWM Players Guild, which I'm not sure if they're still in existence, because fortunately the theater department sort of gotten back on its feet again.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, the Players Guild was really it for students, and I met with a couple people who were involved,
mm-hmm.
and the late Cindy Poulsen, who was quite wonderful in starting a lot of theater careers here in Milwaukee. And she just said, we need to do some shows. What do you guys have ideas for? And I had no idea what I was doing. But I remembered a number of years before that, I had seen a show called Bone Dance with American Folklore Theater up in Door County.
Okay.
And I said, well, it's fall. Halloween shows are kind of a big sell. Everybody loves zombies.
Yeah.
So why don't you guys try doing some sort of a Halloween-like fundraiser just to get some interest up?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially the response was, that sounds great, go do it. And like, okay, so I went to my brother, who I've collaborated with a number of times, and I'm collaborating on this show with, and said, well, what do we do? And he said, well, let's just take some ghost stories and just adapt them for the stage. And we had no idea what we were doing then. And we have a little bit better idea of what we're doing now. But really, we get to about August every year, and we're like, well, we should think about Zombie Jamboree. What stories should we do?
Yeah.
And I've poured through hundreds of ghost stories.
Yeah,
some of them really good, some of them really bad, some of them that we just can't do on stage because they're either too epic or too mundane.
Okay.
And so I think the most difficult part, actually, of putting these shows together is finding the right stories that'll translate to the stage and won't be too long.
Oh, yeah.
And even from last year's show, we think kind of ran just a little bit long for a sketch-type show where there's no overarching plot, you know.
Right, yeah.
And sort of an
anthology type.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. It really is more of a variety show. And this year's show is subtitled The Graveyard Follies, which just kind of gives us a little bit of freedom to sort of toss in a few songs here and there, some silly bits, and just kind of, I mean, have a little bit more fun now that we have an idea of the structure and how things are going with it.
So how this is Zombie Jamboree number...
This, if you include the original three that we did at UWM, this would be the fifth time that we've done the show.
Okay. And in that many productions, how many stories?
Last year we did 10 scenes, of which I believe 3 of them we used from the previous year's shows.
Okay.
Overall, I would say we've probably done about 25 different ghost stories.
Okay.
And sketches. Some of them have been just really ridiculous. Some of them have been a little bit more touching, a little bit more haunting. And we've got a new one this year called Lucy by the Sea.
Okay.
I didn't intend it for it to be very serious, but as I was writing it, it's like, you know what? We've got all this silly, we've got all this goofy. Everybody's idea of what the afterlife is like and what ghost stories are like is very different. So there's something haunting, something peaceful about this story that isn't, hey, look at us, we're silly zombies, you know? And for this show, I think it's a nice little change of pace, just because it does present a different side of what people may or may not believe to be a spiritual story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and there's so many different themes that you can draw on, and so many different perspectives that you can take on life after life.
Right.
You know, it seems to lend itself to a lot of different, you know, a lot of different options.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got what's the everything, you know, you've got mostly comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this
yeah, that would be fair to say.
And then Lucy by the Sea.
Yep. And then we're repeating a scene that we did last year called The Haunted Lighthouse.
It sets
a very spooky tone, but the punchline, if you will, is almost comedic.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, there are some scenes that I would say are just flat out silly. and Lucy by the Sea, and some of them are—they're just kind of meant to be lighthearted.
Okay.
I grew up watching Ghostbusters, yes, the TV show, and the movies.
Yeah.
I grew up watching The Addams Family, again, the TV shows and the movie, and I guess you call it gallows humor,
okay,
where it's kind of taking the very serious subject of death,
yeah,
and just kind of putting a little bit of a silly spin on it, even though it's still a serious subject. So a lot of the ghost stories that we have, I mean, obviously deal with death, but in just that kind of lighthearted way, saying,
well,
you have to laugh at it. Yeah, it's going to happen one way or the other, so you might as well, you know, get a laugh out of it, like they say in Monty Python.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, the interesting thing, and it's tricky to manage with the space you've got,
because
it's a beautiful space. It's huge.
Yeah, it's very big.
Traditionally, though, ghost stories are told between intimate little groups of people.
Yep, little campfire stories.
Exactly. I mean, and here you're trying to like broadcast that,
right?
And,
exactly.
And open it up.
Yep.
And how are you working with that?
What we're trying to do is, even though it is a pretty wide space, is we're trying to confine the action a little bit so that you're not looking hither and thither trying to figure out what you're supposed to be focusing on.
Yeah. Because that was the thing for me, and I don't know that this made it into what I was writing about it, is that, and I guess going to as many shows as I do, most theater in Milwaukee, if you just look at it per capita, happens on very, very,
very small stages. Very
small
stages, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so just suddenly going to a space that big, I was a little distracted. Now, I don't know if other people would be, you know, necessarily, who don't go to 110 shows a year.
Right.
But that was my thing, is like, you know, it's kind of cavernous in here, and you need to try to, you know, open that up and make it more intimate.
Right.
Know?
Yep, and that is a challenge. And we didn't have that challenge when we did Pirates of Penzance, because we had 22 people up on stage.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah, we try, it's, we have to be very creative, and we try to use things in front of the stage, we try to bring people in through the audience, just to make sure,
yes,
just to make sure that the action is—it's not going to get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like this little one here.
Yes, exactly.
Almost slid away.
Just got out of her stroller.
Yes.
So you're doing things with blocking and staging to try to make it try to bring what's going on closer.
Yep. What we found really works best, last year we created this mad scientist character, which kind of held everything together. This year, it's set in a cemetery, because it's called The Graveyard Follies. And so we've created this sort of undertaker, narrator character. He always comes center stage, he always comes right down stage and talks directly to the audience, just to make sure that if our scenes get a little big, we still pull it back, and he's like, oh, remember we're here. You know?
So he's like a crypt keeper type?
He's kind of a crypt keeper, yeah. And we even, this is my second year now at Thomas More, and I'm still finding stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the costume room, we found all this really goofy stuff, including this hat with a wig attached to it. That's just like, that's creepy and perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be kind of weird, though, because there's no advance ticket sale.
No, and that's something that we're looking into at Thomas More.
Yeah.
Because I'm in charge of both, I can say, well, if you guys want this, do you mind if we use it too?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, absolutely, anything to get our school, our auditorium, our space, our mission out there will help.
Yeah.
So when I suggest, hey, can we buy this, you know, an advanced ticketing system,
like what In Tandem uses.
Yeah.
Chris and Jane Fleer have been unbelievably instrumental all these years with just sort of giving me advice about how to start something, how to keep it going, how to keep interest up, how to keep costs down.
Yeah.
And they suggested a ticketing program system that I think we may go with very soon, which we can use for storyteller shows as well.
Okay. But yeah, so you're essentially doing this and trusting that people will come to it.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's as we found out with Pirates, the more people that you have involved in a production, the more people are willing to get the word out. We're learning with every show that we do that, oh gee, maybe we should get a props person for this show. Or, oh gee, maybe we really do need somebody who's just going to go around and hang up posters. We're discovering that as we go along.
But, yes, so the show opens tonight and it runs...
It runs this weekend, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday at 5.
Okay.
We're attempting to be Packer friendly. And then next weekend, Friday, Saturday, also at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2 because the Packer game's at 3:15.
Ah, okay.
So the show runs about an hour and 20 minutes, so you may miss kickoff and perhaps the first drive. But that's the thing. We have a scene about baseball in this show because my brother and I started in sports, and we found theater later. And as a matter of fact, we did some discussions about the rest of our season, and our summer show this year is actually going to be a tribute to the Milwaukee Braves.
Okay.
And so we understand the sports world. It's almost a good thing that the Brewers didn't go very far this year because it freed up our October, so we don't have to worry about losing people to the playoffs. And I would have playoff tickets. I went in 2011 all the games, we love sports. We get that. My girlfriend, who's in the show, is an avid Packer fan, and so she said, "Is there any way?" And it's like, you know, there's some logic to cooperating because there's no reason that sports and theater and just other the arts can't coincide. We understand that the Packers are a huge draw, and we would be silly to try to butt up our heads against them.
Well, yeah, and certainly something like this has kind of a wide, potentially a wide appeal.
That's what we're hoping for,
And you know, the people who would necessarily, you know, because a lot of people who go to a theater show are theater people.
Right. So, basically.
So, I mean, you know, trying to branch out, trying to reach out to other people, and... I was just at Lambeau last week.
Really? Very good.
And it's really impressive. And you just look at all of these people in the stands and think, just add up the total amount of money spent on tickets.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm going to my very first game in early November.
Yeah.
Buying them secondhand was $150 per ticket. I'm told from everybody that it's absolutely worth it. We'll see. I've been there before. I took a tour last year sometime, but I've never actually seen a game. So this is going to be new territory for me.
But yeah, I mean, you know, because there's such a wide appeal there, and trying to trying to get that, you know, and to understand that, you know,
it's always a battle. I mean, they say, and I learned this very early on, that if you can get. Wives tend to bring their husbands to the theater, and if you can do something that pleases everybody, then you got to win. And that's a gross exaggeration in a lot of cases, because I certainly found my way into theater without any help or encouragement. But I try to do things that do have a broad appeal because I have such varied interests. I appreciate theater companies that do. One of my favorite shows in Milwaukee the last couple of years was Lombardi. I saw it twice. It was terrific.
Now, which one did you see?
I did not see the Peninsula Players one. I saw the one at the Rep.
Okay. Actually, Next Act did a...
That's right, they did... that's right, David Tesserini did that show. Yeah.
Which is still my favorite.
I missed that one. I heard it was very good, too.
And getting back to this, as long as my intern is with it, how many stories had you been through when you're looking through stuff that would fit together for this particular...
Oh, for goodness sakes. Well, when we first started out, our very first resource was...
Alvin Schwartz's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, right.
Very
right,
childish, very, yeah. You know, very silly campfire type story. And so since then, I have literally an entire bookshelf.
Okay.
That's just full of campfire stories, local lore, local legend. I have about 15 books that are just Wisconsin stories.
Yeah.
And there are two or three stories that are specific to the Wisconsin region that mm-hmm. we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
But New England is chock full of ghost stories. Some very interesting, different regional things, local color. Mm-hmm. We have one story that's set in Ireland.
Okay.
And so just the amount of ghost story, you know, quote unquote true ghost story literature is so vast. And yeah. when you sit on Amazon and go, okay, I'm looking for this book in this region specifically, there's 17 other recommendations. You go, oh, I never even thought of looking into
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
So it drives my girlfriend crazy because I'm in the summer, all I'm doing is reading ghost stories, trying to find ones that work. And a lot of times I'll ask her, I'd say, does this play? Do you think this would make a good story? And she'll say, I don't know, this one seems just a little too weird or a little too vast, or people wouldn't be able to get into it. And I do the same thing with my brother. I'll narrow it down, I'll earmark these books and say, what do you think of this story? And he'll say, I don't know, or yeah, that one's really great, but let's change this. And that's what's cool about ghost stories is the themes are fairly universal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commonality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can take like one aspect of this story and apply it to another story and still be true to the essence of what the story was trying
mm-hmm.
to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, and this particular show is how many from last year?
We kind of.
I think you'd already mentioned.
I think there's five from last year, maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are four from last year, and four brand new ones,
okay.
and one that we brought back, which I believe was the very first scene that we wrote for Zombie Jamboree.
Okay.
Which is called The Old Couple in the Woods, which spawned its own musical, which we're hoping we'll do very soon.
Okay.
Those original shows, we had so little idea of what we were actually doing
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of remarkable that A, people came to see it, and B, the material ended up being interesting and fun enough that with a little bit of tweaking, still stands up.
Mm-hmm.
And people, we have one person from the original cast who's back who hasn't done theater in 3 or 4 years.
Oh, really?
And that was the case last year, too. We had a couple people who were in the original shows who said, ooh, I want to be zombified. we've kind of come up with our own little verbal. So if you want to get zombified, come check out Zombie Jamboree.
And how big is the cast this year?
It's 10 this year.
10? Okay.
Oh, no, I take it back. 11. Since including the grave of the Undertaker, we now have 11 in our cast. And two of them are actually students of mine from Thomas More.
That was
part of the draw behind the administration at Thomas More saying, yeah, sure, you can do your shows here, is they want their students, the theater students, performing arts students, to have experience with, if not professionals, people who have done theater outside of high school, so they can kind of get a taste of what it's like to continue with it and see something that you wouldn't necessarily see us direct at Thomas More as a high school production. So there are two students that are on stage, we have two students that are backstage, and it's great bridging those worlds.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, it sounds like fun. And I've never talked to somebody the day their show opened.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
So and you've been working for, you've been working on this specifically with rehearsals and such.
We started September 14th or 16th, I believe, was our opening. Because
yeah.
we did a musical review at Thomas More the 2 weeks after school started, which was far more ambitious than I even realized. And they somehow managed to pull it together.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are in Zombie Jamboree have done the shows before. They've worked with me before. We're very comfortable working with each other.
That's very cool.
So saying, we only have 3 weeks of rehearsal, can we do this? Everybody says, oh, sure. And that means, fortunately, that they don't have to see, like, I'm finishing writing sound cues this morning. They don't have to worry about that. All they have to do is worry about being silly and doing their best on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and myself can worry about the other details. And
hopefully get some more people who are going to be involved with the nuts and bolts of the company as we go forward.
I would love to have the opportunity to go into the whole Joseph Campbell end of this conversation, but we're just running out of time.
We're running out of patience from our little intern over here.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the fascination and where that comes from, and you know that type of thing.
Sure. we're very seriously most likely going to be doing this show again next year because trilogies seem to work well. Thank you, George Lucas. Well, depending on who you talk to about George Lucas, anyway. But it feels like a good number to do three, and then we may take a couple of the stories that we've done and expand them into full shows and do something. But there's something about fall. There's something about ghost stories that people just kind of respond to. And so going forward, we've got plenty of ideas, but we're just having so much fun with Zombie Jamboree that we'll be able to talk next year.
On an open, yes. And so, once again, the show opens tonight. The Coda, again, the show opens tonight at
St. Thomas More High School. The show, tonight's a preview. It's 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are $5 for everybody.
Okay. At the door.
At the door, yep. If you'd like more information, storytellermilwaukee@gmail.com. We'd be happy to give you some more information. It plays tomorrow and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 5, and then next weekend, Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Matt Zembrowski.
Great. Thank you, Russ. Okay. And thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Genre.